And welcome to another edition of the Meat And welcome to another edition of the New African Business Association Blog Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum. And tonight we're going to have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Parker. And he's the inventor, of course, of the solar energy technology that we will be discussing tonight. We will be right back with tonight's show in just one moment after we take a quick commercial.
One would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right?
How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you loved your black preacher?
Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one?
And welcome back to tonight's show. At this time, I'd like to introduce one of Dr. Parker's assistants, Dr. Schutz. And just to give you some brief information on Dr. Schutz, Karima, would you share that information, please?
Good evening. Dr. Marcus W. Schutz, Ph.D., P.E., Vice President, R&D. Dr. Schutz has actively participated in R&D, engineer, angle product, and technology development, and manufacturing activities across several technology sectors since 1983. Dr. Schutz served as a distinguished member of technical staff at Bell Laboratories, AT&T, and Lucent Technologies, Vice President of Engineering at LuxCore Networks, Inc., an optical network system startup company, CEO of Schutz Enterprises, Inc., a technology consulting firm, Vice President for Research and Sponsored Programs, and Professor at Tennessee State University, and Vice President for Research and Sponsored Programs, and Professor at Clark Atlanta University. Dr. Schutz earned a BS and PhD in Mechanical Engineering at Tennessee State and Georgia Tech, as well as an SM in Materials Science from MIT.
At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we present you Dr. Shu.
Good evening.
Good evening, Dr. Shu.
Good evening, Shu.
Well, first, thank you for allowing us the opportunity to come onto your show and talk about this new product that Dr. Parker first invented several years ago. You know, we're in the process of commercializing now, presently. So what I want to do is spend a few minutes talking about SolarVia, which is 510 Nano's first technology product rollout that we hope to commercialize this year. It's the ground-mounted version of our solar technology that we are in the process of pursuing a patent on. It's revolutionary and groundbreaking technology that captures light and concentrates light in a different manner than most commercial solar power systems do today. So it's new. It's a new-to-the-world technology that we're commercializing that separates the visible light from sunlight, from the infrared component of sunlight, and uses both components efficiently to generate electricity. And until now, there hasn't been a commercially viable product or architecture that can do this. So what 510 Nano is commercializing is new to the world and revolutionary, and will allow us to generate electricity in a manner more efficiently and more economically than other competing technologies. So we use a primary optic lens to capture the light and concentrate it more than 15,000 times onto two very small solar cells, one that's optimized for visible light and then the second cell that's optimized for infrared light. And then we use both of these solar cells to generate electricity. And this eliminates some problems that conventional systems have. When you concentrate light that magnitude onto a very small solar cell, it generates a lot of heat, which leads to inefficiencies and could lead to premature failure of those cells. But well, 510 Nano has an architecture that alleviates this problem and allows us to concentrate light very efficiently, focus it onto both chips, and then generate electricity from both of those chips, and achieve efficiencies that cannot be achieved or have not been achieved in conventional solar cell systems. So we're very excited about this new technology and are in the process of ramping up to commercialize it and moving to full-scale manufacturing over the next year.
Okay. All right. Did you have any other comments, Doctor, before we go to Dr. Parker before we go to Dr. Parker, I guess we should ask I'm not going to ask for questions right now. What we'll do is we'll just go right to Dr. Parker. Give us some information, if you would, Kareem, on Dr. Parker, and he'll be our next speaker.
Dr. Reginald Parker, PhD, CEO, and Director. Dr. Parker is an experienced business professional, entrepreneur, seasoned inventor, commercialization lead, and a solar energy technologist for over 20 years. Dr. Parker served as Chief Technology Officer at Nano Taylor, a manufacturer of functional carbon nanotubes and applications, a consultant at the Boston Consulting Group, an international management consultant firm, and a senior polymer process research engineer at Rome and Haas Company, a specialty chemical company acquired by Dow Chemical Company. Additionally, Dr. Parker has taught research and managed programs in various academic institutions, including professor and principal investigator at the University of North Dakota, as well as assistant director of tech transfer, chairman and professor at Florida A&M University. Dr. Parker holds a SB and PhD in chemical engineering from MIT and Georgia Tech. as well as an MBA from Florida State University.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present Dr. Parker.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Marcus, for that lead-in. What we wanted to do was to lay out the technology and just to say why it is different than what currently is out there, why it's better than what's currently out there, and how we're turning that into a business. So I'm just going to highlight what Dr. Shute said. First thing is per square footprint, so within a given space, we produce more energy. In fact, we produce 90% more energy than any other solar product. And by doing that, we reduce the cost. And we reduce the cost to about 5.5 cents a kilowatt hour without subsidy. And we consider that to be tremendously significant because when you're in Nigeria, you're in Nairobi, you're in Bahamas, you're in Bahrain, in these countries, and you want steady, reliable energy, this particular product is able to give it to you. It's able to give it to you at an economic rate so that not only will you have clean, renewable energy, you'll have reliable, affordable energy. And this is what the developing world needs. You can't have a large business entity without having stable electricity. If you were to visit places like Lagos or Accra in Ghana, you would want to make sure that your electricity is not shutting off 3 to 4 to 5 times a day. And so given that there's a lot of solar electricity coupled with batteries, you're able to now provide electricity consistently for these countries for at a rate they can afford in comparison to what they use now, which is diesel energy, which is around 30 to 35 cents a kilowatt hour. Our solution, all together with batteries, is around 10 to 11 cents a kilowatt hour. So we're going to be able to provide electricity to these places, making them stronger as a country and in the global competitive space. So that's the business strategy behind it. How are we going to do this? Well, the first thing is this. Our core competency is on technology innovation. So we've partnered with a variety of different people. We have a contract manufacturer that has a global footprint that are going to make the products for us. We give them an exclusive contract to manufacture the product. The product still will have our name. It will have Solar V on it. And what Marcus and I and our team will be doing is thinking about the next level of technologies that we will push forward. We're also partnering with large distributors as well as strategic resellers. So we're looking for folks who have relationships within specific localities, whether or not it's where they live or where they were born. Being able to sell into those markets are going to be strategic, and we would like to have those relationships. So our business is structured on us focusing on new technologies, improving the technologies, and utilizing strategic resources for sales as well as for manufacturing. One of the questions that people ask us is, how do you know it works? Well, in technology development, you have to build prototypes. And so we've built prototypes, and we've compared them head-on-head to the best technologies out there. And we've been able to beat them in excess of 20% more efficient systems at a great cost benefit. And we did this at the North Carolina Solar Center. So we've gotten third-party verification that our product actually performs as we say it does. The second thing people ask us is, are you sure that there's somebody who wants your product. Well, we already have somebody who wants to use our product specifically for refrigerated warehouses, and they've paid us $200,000 just for that license. So there are people who have actually put money on the table to use our technology. We use that $200,000 to further develop the technology and improve it. And so now we're at the point where we are going to finish it up, our ready-to-manufacturing strategy, number one. Number two, we're going to get UL and IEC approval. Number three, we're going to build a large test demonstration to secure the contracts that are currently on the table in LOI status or a letter of intent. So there are folks who want it, but they need to see the ready-to-manufacture design, not the prototype design, but what we will be making on a day-to-day basis, and they want to see how it performs. So we're doing that right now, and we're hoping that by Q4, our earliest of 2017, Q1, latest of 2018, to be making the product and put it into the market. So we're doing the steps of making these things the right way with the right people, and we're partnering with the right type of folks for distributors as well as resellers to put them in markets. Now, the last thing I would say is that we anticipate 75% of our products to be sold out of the country, 25% within the country. Reason being is that there's about 750 million people in the continent of Africa that do not have light, and it's estimated that over the next 30 years, they will get electricity, and there will be a great growth of electrification, and solar is going to be one of the major ways to do so. And we want to be a part of that. We want to put the best technology out there for their growth. There's also places in Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Morocco, and I learned recently that Sudan is also a strategic place. So we're going to go to where folks need the product, where we have relationships, where you have relationships, so that we can get this product out on the market at large quantities. One of the things we share with people in terms of the competitive landscape, right now 85% of all solar panels are shipped from China. And that gives us a global risk, meaning that if anything happens to the Chinese market, this whole solar industry could fold. And so we need greater diversity. Secondly, not everybody is happy with the product that is coming from China, and they're asking for Americans. Even they're asking specifically for African-American products. And so we think we can fit that bill. So we have a marketplace that is actually needing our product. We have a competitive advantage that makes our product better than others. And at the end of the day, we have the global footprint to be able to deliver and scale at volume. So I think that you have a sense of how we're pushing this forward. And with that, Brother Bilal, I think, you know, I can open up for questions. I think I've given them enough meat on what we're doing from a business standpoint where we can go into more questions.
Okay, well, that said, Dr. Parker, we're doing just that. We will start opening up the mics for questions. We'll do that in just a moment after we take a quick commercial.
Bideman Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. it will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bynum & Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.BynumAssociatesInsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090.
Okay, and welcome back to the show. Again, the mics are open to the general public, so anyone have a question for Dr. Parker, welcome to the show.
Now get on there, Joy.
Hello, you're on the show.
I tell my friend to get on there.
Okay, you're on the show now. Again, the mics are open. You're going to find the mics are open for just about everyone. I'm opening the mics up so everybody can get a question in. So if you're listening,
are you really interested,
if you have a question, go ahead and ask your question or whatever comment you may have. Again, you're on the air.
Yes, Abdul Shaheed, your co-host, one of your co-hosts. Dr. Parker, the 25% business that you said you may do in the United States of America, is there any way that Americans could be a part of that business that you're doing? How would someone go about being a part of that business?
I like America.
As we said, we're going to be dealing with large distributors and resellers. So we'll be looking at people like yourself for the resellers. Resellers are people who they buy from us and resell it to somebody else. So once you have a customer, as long as you're a licensed reseller, you'll be able to sell it. So all of our resellers will get training on the product. And they'll get an understanding of where it is, and they'll be hooked up with our manufacturer so that when the sale goes through, what will happen is it'll be all electronic. The payment will go through. Your part will go to you, and the equipment will show up. And in most cases, what happens is that it's like a 30-30-40. 30% the order, 30% once it hits there, and 40% within a certain period of time. You know, basic standard equipment payment structure. But, what that allows you to do is find more places to sell without having any financial risk or holding products in your house. It will go from manufacturer to job site. No, I didn't
know you said Can I just make a comment?
Sure.
Yeah, the third-party manufacturer that we're using, they have a very sophisticated and efficient order realization, order fulfillment system. So just as Dr. Parker described, once an order is placed, they'll be able to adjust their manufacturing schedule to fulfill any orders they receive. So it'd be almost like just-in-time manufacturing and order fulfillment, which reduces the cost because it reduces our inventory, it will reduce the reseller's inventory, and also the installer's inventory and overhead. So that's one of the great benefits of working with the partners that we found, that they're very skilled at this, and we are looking forward to ramping up that system. It'll be a cost benefit for everybody involved.
Right. And as Marcus just said, look, when you make that order, not only will the part arrive, you will also be able to put the installer, because there will be an installer network that will support the activity. You know, so you go to your local mall, as an example, and the mall owner says, yeah, I'll put some solar on there if that lowers my cost. You show them how it lowers the cost. They make the order. And you can go back and check on it, just, you know, because you're a good salesperson, but everything will be taken care of.
Fantastic. I'd like to know, Dr. Parker, in the future, do you plan on making any solar equipment that one may use? as lighting up their yard at night or lighting up the streets or something like that? Or
well, we have a series of solar products that we're going to be bringing to market. We have a lot of technology that we literally have sitting on a shelf. We're practicing discipline by taking one product out at a time.
Yes,
so
yes.
Once we get this one, and this one, just to be more clear, as Marcus laid out, this one is a ground mount and a rooftop. It has to be done on a flat roof or a flat ground. This is not one for your home, okay, for the A-frame roof. This is for like a Burger King, for McDonald's, for, those flat roofs or for a warehouse or for a mall, okay?
Okay.
And it could also be used for a radio tower or cell tower that's in the middle of nowhere and needs electricity. Now, those are strategic uses for this technology. Now, when we go to the ones for yard and what have you, we have a nanobio composite that we've worked on and we've optimized, but we haven't quite yet perfected it. That will be extremely useful not only for the application is talking about the charging stations in your yard, but it is also great for making roof tiles in the future. So we do have the next generation technologies that will be coming out. In fact, the technology that Marcus described to you, where it splits light, visible light from heat, one of the next renditions of that is to use it for high temperature electrolysis to turn carbon dioxide and steam into methanol and synthetic fuel. But again, we're being very disciplined. First thing we're going to be putting out is SolarVia. The next thing we'll be putting out is SeaQuest. And then the third thing we'll be able to put out is 510 tile, like a solar tile. So the strategy of this business, again, is to be innovative, to partner with sales channels, folks who do sales well, and to partner with our manufacturing partner. A lot of folks say, why don't you do it all? I think that the economic development impact is better when you concentrate on where your strengths are and partner with people who are strong in those areas. If I wanted to go into sales, I would have to have all of those sales relationships in addition to understanding quantum physics, and that usually doesn't happen. So we understand quantum physics, and that's what we will do, and we will partner with people who have the relationships and understand the sales channel.
Okay.
So, quick answer, yes, that will be down the road. But I want to make sure that you understand that we're going to be very disciplined as to how we roll things out.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Definitely.
Again, the mics are open. You have a question for Dr. Barker? Now's a good time to ask it.
Marcus, could you explain why we consider solar as one of the key new technologies for this next generation?
Sure. If we don't have any other questions, I'd be happy to. First of all, sunlight is one of the most abundant resources in the world to produce, clean energy. So that's why, solar power is one of the leading candidates to help, reduce pollution and offset
fossil fuel.
Okay. Hello, question.
Go right ahead, Dr.
I don't think the young lady knows that when she's talking that it's coming through to everybody.
Yes, I am.
Oh, sure, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
A couple other reasons why we believe solar energy is a great alternative to fossil fuels and would be a great market to be in the future. It, of course, it's non-polluting. It doesn't release any pollutants in the atmosphere. It doesn't create any noise pollution, anything like that. So it's a very clean source of electricity production. It's very quick installation. Once you train installation installers on how to set up these power plants, they can be erected very quickly, and doesn't require a lot of intensive capital or infrastructure to do that. So you can install it in locations very quickly and very economically. Pretty much no maintenance is required for photovoltaic, solar cells or solar panels, other than just routine cleaning the panels every so often. And the projected lifetime is about 25 years. Solar vehicle, the design life is 25 years or longer. So there's not a lot of recurring costs involved in operating or maintaining a solar power plant. And then it also allows some efficient reuse of landfills and other things that might not ordinarily find a good environmental use. But photovoltaics and solar power allows you to use landfills and other areas, even wetlands in some cases, to make efficient use of land that wouldn't otherwise be serve a good purpose in terms of generating some kind of economic benefit for the community. So those are just some of the reasons why we feel solar power is the best solution to generating, clean, renewable energy for different communities.
Can I add three other things? And these are kind of anecdotes that kind of drive it home. First, it's easier to build a solar farm than it is to build a house. It is easier to build a solar farm than it is to build a house in terms of how difficult it is. Because you're taking a something, you're either pinning it to a ground or you're putting bricks on it to hold it steady. And that's what you call your rack. Then you put your mount on a rack. Then you put your panel on the mount. Then you run the cords to the inverter. Then you run the cords from the inverter to the transformer and the transformer out to the grid. That's all you have to do. And it's not any more difficult than that. With a house, you got to run not only the electricity, you got to do the water, you got to do a lot of different things, and the number of trade craft that you would need is enormous. So a lot of people don't understand that solar is not as difficult as it sounds. That's number one. Number two, an electron doesn't know who his daddy is. So once you make that electron, whether or not it's from solar, wind, or whatever, it's the same thing. It's electricity. So solar has an advantage that you can put down more solar faster than you can build a nuclear power plant. And so since an electron don't care where it comes from, you want something that's going to be inexpensive and fast to deliver, especially when you need power. So solar has that advantage. The third thing is that within 48 minutes, you get more electricity from sunlight than we use in a whole year. So solar has great advantages. So any other questions?
Yeah, Dr. Parker, I'm buying them here. Now, I've been asked the question, suppose one have 30 acres and they want to buy directly or have you to set them up a solar farm. What would you have to say about an idea like that?
So you're saying if you had 30 acres and you wanted to build a solar farm, how would this work out for you?
Yes, and of course going directly through you.
All right, so if you were dealing with regular solar panel, you could build a 6-megawatt system. And if you were in, let's say, North Carolina building it, that 6-megawatt system would produce, let's say, somewhere around 6 million kilowatt hours a year. Okay? And that 6 megawatt system will cost you somewhere around $7.2 million. And so the effect of that would be somewhere around 8 to 9 cents a kilowatt hour without subsidy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Our system on that same 30 acres will be a 10 megawatt system. Not a 6, but a 10 megawatt system. And instead of doing, I calculated it, around 6 million kilowatt hours a year. No, 8 million kilowatt hours a year. This will be doing in excess of 18 million kilowatt hours a year. And ultimately, it'll be at about 5 cents a kilowatt hour without subsidy, 5.5 cents. So you don't need to use as much space to get the same number of kilowatt hours, or if you used all of your space, you're going to produce way more, which produces way more revenue and way more profits for you because your cost is going to be lower.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening.
This is Bernice Fond. I have a
yes.
question regarding, since you talked about the 25% business in the United States. There's much development going on in the U.S., housing I'm speaking primarily of, but also along with that there's school, shopping, just any number of other things that make up this developing as they expand out, especially from the inner cities into the open lands. My question is there any way you might find an interest in these developers who could, before they even develop whatever they're doing, whether it's an entire community of housing and business and schools and shopping, would they be able to have a certain amount of land set aside knowing that their community is going to be serviced through your solar plan so that those homes and other things that are going to be involved in that development would be serviced through whatever they set aside for the solar area of that community to supply those people who are going to now be a part of that community?
All right, so there's a couple of answers to your question. First, we are...
Well, I'm going to have to get out of here.
We're structured to sell solar panels, not solar farms, okay? So we will be selling to those developers or a solar developer who will partner with them. So that is something that we can do. We can sell our panels to either the housing developer or the solar developer who will partner with the housing developer. The second thing is, depending on which state you're in, is the amount of what they call net metering that you could do. Utilities still have great power over whether or not you could sell power. So, but if it's behind the meter, they can't say anything. So if you structure your community so that you power in North Carolina, you can power up to 1 megawatt and they can't stop you. So I don't know how it would work out on a community solar program, and that's what you call it, a community solar program in different states, because every state has different laws on how that happens. And so right now a lot of people are doing the community solar where you build a big solar farm and each particular panel or a grouping of panels are allocated to a certain house. And so when that electricity flows, it flows into the community, and they're able to calculate the amount of electricity that's made versus the amount of electricity that you use and balance it out. So that is a strategic way. You set aside some land, you create your electricity through a community solar program. Hopefully the utility is working with you. In that case, it's even better. And I'll tell you this, when you do that and you structure it just right, when there's a bad hurricane and power lines are down the road, your solar farm will still be able to generate electricity, and those communities still should be online if it's done right. So your thinking is right in the way of what a lot of folks are doing with distributed solar. Solar can be put right where the it can be the source right where people are using it. So I agree with your thinking, and that is a strategic way where the resellers can go and meet with the developers and help them think through that and make that happen.
Very good. And now let's go to the 75%, because I would think that since they don't have all of these regulations that we have in this country and monopolies even that we have in our own country, the 75% and how you could deal with that, tell me how that could be different because they're developing countries.
All right, so for instance, a gentleman just won a bid for 350 megawatts to develop and build in West Africa. Right, so they got a power pool out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's come to us and said, look, I want to put your product as a way of fulfilling this order because I don't need as much land. I'm going to be able to get, because there's a lot more sunlight, he actually has a better cost. It goes down to about 4.5 cents a kilowatt hour.
That's right.
He charges them somewhere around 12 cents a kilowatt hour. But it cost him 4 cents a kilowatt hour. If he was dealing with regular solar, it would be 8 cents. And so his profit has just doubled by using our technology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is we're not looking to work with Ghana. We're looking to work with the people who are already in Ghana, have projects, and need technology. And I'm being very specific there because we used to do solar farms. And when you do solar farms, your capital structure needs to be a lot different. You need to be much more of a bloated company. We found that it's better to be lean and mean and to deal with folks who already have a capital structure to be a development company and let that be their strategic capability. And for us, our strategic capability is technology and developing new technology. And because we understand what happens with development, we make sure that our product meets their needs. So we have relationships in South Africa, in Ghana, Nigeria, Liberia, Morocco, in Turkey. The Imam Sharif is introducing us to the relationships in Sudan. We have relationships in Qatar as well as in Ethiopia. And then back to the Caribbean islands. We have relationships in the Bahamas and Jamaica and TNT, Trinidad and Tobago, and a couple of Pacific islands as well as Australia. So these relationships are interested in buying our product, and we're developing a couple of relationships in South America right now. So, you know, we're looking at the people who are going to be able to buy the panels and put them into their projects or put them on their large rooftops, the warehouses, the malls, and similar activities.
Dr. Parker, just to piggyback on what you're saying, you have these, and I'm certain many of our listeners have these sales representatives or companies that come around and they're actually selling rooftop panels. And from what I know for a fact, Dr. Parker, you are able to advance their technology. You're able to advance their technology. In other words, what they're doing, you're able to enhance some of these technologies that has been more or less just a panel and just dealing with panels. You're able to make these panels now much more efficient. Is that what I'm hearing?
All right. So our technology is actually a different structure than current panels. So we are advanced in comparison to them. So, you know, a bike gets you down the street, but a Lamborghini will get you down there more comfortably and faster. And we're the Lamborghini in that particular analogy.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give you a sense of what we're talking about, a standard 300-watt panel stands up at about 5.5 feet by close to 6 feet by 4 feet in dimensions, okay? That's the standard 300-watt panel that you can buy at any store. And the thickness of that thing is going to be about 0.5 inch. But the thickness doesn't matter because that's what's facing the sun, right? What matters is the height and width, because that's how much land space is going to be taken up. Our, if you were to get a 6 foot by 3 feet system of ours, it wouldn't produce 300 watts. It would produce 600 watts, twice the amount of electricity in the same footprint. But ours would be not a half an inch thick. It would actually be a foot thick. But that doesn't matter, because that's the part that's facing the sun. That's, you know, up and down from the ground up to the top. The part that takes land is from one tip to the other tip. And that's where we save on space. In the same space of a 300 watt, we produce 600 watts.
Okay.
So that's our advancement. We're using way more of sunlight. The standard panel is 18% efficient. As you see, ours is way more efficient than 18%.
Is that enough?
Okay. I noticed that my brother, William Biden from Delaware, are you on the telephone?
Yes.
Okay, you have any questions?
Not right now. I'm just taking everything in. It's interesting in what I'm hearing, because I have been debating on implying that or installing that on my rooftop, you know, that like we was talking about last night, that would make your heating bill more efficient as far as the cost.
So again, Dr. Parker, I know you were telling me this is that small market. I know you've got two or three different markets, but this is the small market that Dr. Parker, you were telling me about. And we got about 15 more minutes, and I'd like for you to continue to talk about maybe more clarity on the small market, on how we can become entrepreneurs through your organization. And also, are you looking for any new investors as far as going into Africa and some of these overseas companies?
All right, so we're going to first talk about the business development, and that kind of corners the conversation, the question that was just asked, and then we'll move in to what our funding needs are and why. So he was saying that he is making a decision on whether or not he wants to put solar on his rooftop, right? A lot of small businesses are making those decisions, right? They're saying, you know, is it worth it? And what I and right, just like a homeowner, and I ask a simple question: do you want to own your electricity or do you want to rent your electricity? And you know, they furrow their face, right? So I don't understand what you mean. I said, well, if I were to put panels on my home and it cost me $10,000, right? It's cost me $10,000. I put enough panels on my home and I don't have to worry about electricity going forward. I own my energy system.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, well, that's a large upfront cost. I said, yeah, but nobody goes out. Not many people goes out and put $200,000 into somebody else's hand to own a house. They usually finance it. Not many people go to the dealership with $25,000 and buy a car. They finance it. Likewise, if you were to finance a solar power plant onto your home, it would cost you about $90. That $10,000 will cost you about $90 per month for about 10 years. And then after that, you wouldn't have to pay anything at all. Whereas if you continue to pay the electric company, you're going to pay them $150 a month this year, $155 a month next year, so on and so forth. And you'll do that for the rest of your life. So if you are a reseller of our product, you'll be going to the owner of the Burger King, you'll be going to the owner of the mall, saying the same exact thing. Do you want to own your power plant or do you want to rent it? Do you want to pay for this thing over the next 6-7 years and never have to pay for it again?
Yeah. And also,
or do you just want to continue paying it?
The other additional point is that there's very low maintenance and operating costs associated with it. So
it's an
infrastructure improvement that's going to continue to pay for itself with very low maintenance required.
Right. And so as a part of the training program, you're going to be armed with all of this information, right? And you'll be given data from the Department of Energy. You know, when we say these things, we're not saying it off the cuff. I got a power plant in Gettysburg, North Carolina. It's over 7 acres. I got a 7-acre power plant. Also, I got 2 rooftops out in California. I built another one in Massachusetts, but I sold it as soon as I built it. So we've built large power plants. The one out in California, it makes electricity, and we sell it to the city of town of Los Gatos. The one in North Carolina, we're selling that power to Dominion Power. The one that's up in Massachusetts, when we built it, the town of Deerfield just wanted it. They didn't want us to finance it. And them buying electricity, they said it's actually better for us to own it. You know, so that's what they did. So, you know, we've built power plants. We understand the issues from a developer side. And so we're going to give you all of that information so that if you wanted to be a business development person, that's there. So right now we have a 3-step commercialization plan. And on that first step of the commercialization plan, the folks that want to buy large quantities, they need to see our development, demonstration array. We want to build it down in Atlanta, and it's going to cost us $50,000. And so we're in the market right now. We're raising part of our we actually have a larger raise for that first phase. And that first phase is a total of $700,000, but the $50,000 is the first thing that we're raising that on. And we're talking to institutional investors and doing that. What we hope to do is minimize the amount of institutional investment that we bring in and increase the amount of friends and family that we bring in. Why do we want to do that? Institutional investment is nice, and everybody says, wow, you got Google to invest in you, or wow, you got this other big company or what have you to invest in you. Well, that's nice that you got that big company. But one of the things that happens every year in Oklahoma and happens every year up where the ice cream folks, Ben and Jerry's, are, is that they have community days with Warren Buffett and with Ben and Jerry's. Ben and Jerry's, as well as Warren Buffett, went around their towns and got the average person in their communities to invest in their company. And when they did that, they made millionaires of those average people. And this has been one of the hopes of Phi Sin Nano, to make millionaires of all of his investors. If not millionaires, sock away a couple of $100,000 in our own community. We want to be a Fortune 500, African-American, or a majority minority-owned firm that does business in the diaspora, making impact in places we care about and in a technology way. We're not doing entertainment. We're doing technology. We've demonstrated that we can sing, we can dance, we can throw a football, we can dunk a basketball. We've demonstrated that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what I want us to do as a people is demonstrate that we can do technology in a large way.
Are the panels transferable?
Say that again?
Are they transferable? Say if I am owning my home and I have the panel, but I am going to sell this home and I'm going to have another home. Can I transfer my panels from this home to another home, or would it be beneficial to just have another panel started somewhere else?
Well, it depends, and that's an economic decision, right? The person who may be buying your home, you'll tell them you are buying this home without an electricity bill. So the price of this house is going to be higher as a consequence.
Right.
Excuse me, Dr. Parker. I'm buying him here again, and all of our listeners, unfortunately, we're coming to the end of our time. We've got about 3 more minutes. Dr. Parker, you know you're going to have to come right back on the station again. We have so much more information we want you to share with us. And I'd like to, for you at this time, have all the listeners give them information where they can communicate with you directly. And we will have you back on the show. And of course, also, we'll be talking about you meeting with everyone here in Washington, D.C., hopefully next month to talk about how they can become direct investors. But right now, leave information as to where everyone can go to your website or communicate with you until they hear from you again.
All right. If you're interested in investment, I want you to email us at investment@510nano.com. That's investment@510nano.com. If you're interested in sales, the sales program, that's a little bit further out in the future. I want you to email me at sales@510nano.com, sales@510nano.com. And as I told an investor who was interested in doing business development, I said, you know, preference for business development, of course, will go to, you know, our folks who are invested, because we know that they're going to have a more heart to sell, because they know that they will make money on that transaction in two ways. So I'm not trying to steer you one way or the other. I'm just giving you how we think about it. We try to take care of our own.
And with that said, Dr. Parker, like I said, I am going to see if you can come back on with us as soon as you possibly can. And listeners, you can also reach the New Africa Business Association. Our number is 202-288-5660, 202-288-5660, and we will definitely be able to assist you with Dr. Parker. Again, good night.
Take care.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you can turn it off?
Yeah, just don't turn it off. Get out of it and turn it off. You know how to turn it off?